the opportunity to study your word. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit will be the one speaking to each one of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you know, I just got back from the country of Cuba, a country that can be intimidating for a Christian. When we got there at the airport, they basically told us, those who have religious visas, you're able to talk about God. But those of you who don't have religious visa, beware. Do not say anything that has to do with religion. And some of the people who were there, they said, oh, how about giving out clothes? We brought some clothes we'd like to share with the people. Nope, you can't do that either. Our trip started off like that, with lots of difficulties, lots of challenges. But the bigger the challenges, the bigger our God. And we saw God moving in a mighty way. Our plans were not basically fulfilled as we wished, but we know that God's will was done. And my mother, who was supposed to travel with us on Friday of the week before, she was not able to travel with us. And I can still see her face driving out of the driveway, going to the airport in Fort Lauderdale, and she just staring, just like, I can't believe I'm still here. I'm not going with you guys. So 36 of us left on a Friday, and my mom and her sister, who were born in Cuba, they had to stay to get their visa and get their tickets, and they were able to make it. And we had been praying all that week, and she arrived on a Friday right before we finished our meetings. That weekend, she arrived, and it was interesting. I was sharing with the Sabbath school class. We had an orthopedic surgeon go pick my mom up in Santa Clara, Cuba. And this is 5 hours away from where we were at, but he was the one who had the best car in town. And so he was able to drive out there and pick up my mom. We drove in a big bus with no AC, and you can imagine 80% humidity. My mom had a car with an AC unit in it, and that's rare in Cuba. And she was able to make this trip, and now she's currently in Cuba. This is her last Sabbath there, and we want to continue praying for her. I know God is using her in a mighty way. And if there's something that I learned from this experience of going to this mission field and just facing all these challenges with not having tickets, not having a visa, things changing from day to day, and just all this uncertainty, is that it's good to have family. It's incredible. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just have to stand by that person or hug that person or grab that person's hand. And that can mean, make the difference in the world. Throughout this whole ordeal, our family came together, and we put things in God's hands. God, this is our plan, but we understand you have a better plan. God, we don't understand why these things are happening. We do know that Satan is not happy about this mission taking place, this mission trip taking place, but we put it in your hands. And God opened doors that seemed impossible to open. And to the honor and glory of God, 16 people accepted Jesus through baptism. And there's another 70 people awaiting to be baptized in the near future. And we want to continue praying for the work that is being done in that country. But our scripture reading talks to us today about one word, love. A big word, I would say. A word that sometimes just we can't define well. We use it for everything and anything. I love bananas, we sing, you know? And it just doesn't, you know, well, what does it mean to love someone? What does it mean to experience love? And I am so happy that the Bible is very careful in defining love. Because the world tells us one thing, but the Bible tells us another thing. And what the Bible tells us, young people, it's true. God is love. And he defines that love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love doesn't envy. Love is not self-centered. Love is giving. And it expresses love in words that sometimes it's hard to understand, sometimes hard to comprehend. But God's definition of love is important because God is love. And if there's something out there that doesn't look like God, it's not what? It's not love. It's not love. It's fake. Sometimes it's hard to love at home. Yes? Grew up with a sister. I couldn't. How can I love my sister? I just can't. I found ways of annoying her. And just making things difficult for her. And there's this tension all the time at home. But I think God asks us to love because it's there at home where love is tested. I mean, we grow up and we share all these experiences, all these stages in life. And sometimes just because we're hanging out, you know, we rub each other the wrong way. But that's where then love is tested. And we learn that love is patient, love is meek, love is kind, love is faithful, love is self-control. And all these wonderful attributes of love and wonderful attributes of God. Satan knows that if he can destroy the family, he has destroyed what? The church. He has destroyed society. So this is why from the beginning he's been attacking the family. He's been trying to hurt the family. He's been trying to deceive us to thinking there's something better out there. Something that we can all experience outside of the context of family. And sadly, this sometimes happens even within the church. And this was happening to a certain church in Galatia. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to open them up to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at the first verse there. Galatians chapter 5. There were a group of people who were saying, you're free to do whatever you want. Just need to be circumcised and you can do whatever you want. You're saved by circumcision. And Paul, speaking to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 1, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled with sin. You're free, but you're free to do what is good. You're free to love your neighbor as yourself. And seeing the difficulties that the church was going and the danger that could happen there where division and all these problems could happen because of their trust in self, Paul tells the church members, stand fast. And I want to tell families here at Fallbrook, stand fast. Satan is going to tempt you to think there's something better outside of God. There's something better outside of his church family. But the invitation is to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom that we have obtained in Christ. And if we go down to verse 13, it explains it even a little better. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Is that an expression of love? Serving one another? That's love in Scripture. Paul continues telling the church in verse 16, this I say then, walk in what? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. for Hebrews, for Jews, to walk with somebody is to learn from that person, to have a relationship with that person, to practice what that person does. And Paul here invites us all to walk with who? Walk with the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. Is the Spirit with us today, brothers and sisters? He's with us. He was promised by Jesus himself. He said, I do not leave you orphans. I leave with you the promised one, the comforter, the counselor, the Spirit of God. And he invites us to walk in the Spirit, to learn from the Spirit. He tells us if we do this, we will not fulfill the lust of what? The flesh. And why I want to tell you that the lust of the flesh is something that is destroying families left and right. And not just today, but it was doing it also in the day of Paul. If we go to verse 19, it tells us, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And you would be surprised, wait a second, who is Paul talking here to? Is he talking to the world or to the church? He's talking here to the church. Surprised? Where does Satan want to destroy? He wants to destroy the church. And how does he do this? Through the family. Our Bible text this morning, one word, love. For all the law is what? Fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we love our neighbor, we will not commit adultery. If we love our neighbor, we will not murder. If we love our neighbor, we will not lie. If we love our neighbor, we will not covet anything that he has. If we what? Love our neighbor. That's a promise. We will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The works of the flesh, as we mentioned, they have proven to destroy what? Families. All throughout history. They've also proven to destroy what? And they've proven to destroy communities. Israel suffered consequences of the works of the flesh to the point that it was destroyed and everyone disappeared. But God gives us something to counteract those works of the flesh, and we call them what? The fruits of the Spirit. And Brother Paul today was praying for those fruits. Those are the fruits that help us give witness that Jesus is here. Now I'm going to ask the church family, do we experience here love? Yes. Do we experience here joy? Do we experience here peace? Do we experience here long-suffering? Do we experience here gentleness? Do we experience here goodness? Do we experience here faith or faithfulness? Do you experience here meekness or self-control? If you do, the Spirit of God is here. Amen? That's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. It's not something you just feel, but it's something we can all see. We can all experience. And this is what God is wanting to see in his church. These fruits that bring us together. There's nothing stronger than love. There's nothing that brings more happiness than true joy. There's nothing that gives us just a sense of peace than to know that God's Spirit is bringing us together, that I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have nothing to fear. And let me tell you this, that if there's something that Satan uses as a tool to destroy families and to destroy individuals, to destroy churches, it's fear. He tells us, your future is doomed. You can't make it. This problem is too big. You can't solve it. But perfect love casts out what? All fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. But where do we learn about this? How can we get this? And I want to say today that I believe we get these fruits in the context of the home, the family. That's where we can experience love, joy, peace in a very visible and tangible way. Why do I say this? Because of my family. Now that I went to Cuba, I got some pictures. I got some gold. I was able to take pictures with my phone. And these are my great-grandparents. They were Seventh-day Adventists. They had 13 children. And those children had children. And they basically had one church. It was their church. Family. Everybody came to their church. Grandma and Grandpa, from what I hear from my mom, were people who loved God and loved their family and shared their faith with their grandchildren. And it was so powerful that as my mom went back to Cuba and she came to the different homes of family members who had left the church, she reminded them of this experience with Grandma and Grandpa. Told them, hey, remember when we went to church? Remember what we experienced? And they couldn't deny it. It was true. They saw love there. They saw peace. They saw joy. It was something that my mom says, you know, after Sabbath worship at home, we would go out to the river. We would get the guavas. We would look at the birds. And it was just a wonderful time experiencing God's love. And this was all experienced in the context of the family. This bond of love, peace, and joy was continued by my grandma. And some of you know who she is. This is my aunt. And she shared that with somebody very important in my life. That person, my mom. Pretty intense look, huh? She's an intense lady. She doesn't give up easily. And that mom grew and there she is again. And she's there with her sister, Georgina. And there's something that you can't notice well, but that's my mom's hand right there. And at that age, they became best of friends. And something that you might need to know is that Georgina, my aunt, she came to be part of the family at that age. Her mom was struck down by lightning. And she had all her children in the house. She was feeding the smallest one. Lightning hit the house, and she died. So my aunt Georgina basically came into the household there, and my mom and her best of buddies. And throughout all this ordeal, trying to get to Cuba, that's Georgina. She was there with my mom. And both of them went through this experience, and something that I heard my aunt say, it says, Johnny, that's her husband, told me to not leave you, Raquel. I'm supposed to be with you at all times. And you're supposed to be with me too. And so throughout all this trip, they've been together. And this is the orthopedic surgeon who let us use his car to go pick up my mom. There they are again, together. These bonds that are stronger than death itself. Love, joy, peace is something we can experience when we're small and when we're older. Something that any culture can experience. Amen? We had a father and son who were coming from Oregon. last name Banik, from the southern part of India. And just the relationship between the son and the father during this 1 week, they were staying at the same place I was there. And for some, you might think, you know, father-son relationship, always great, but not always. And it sometimes gets more difficult when dad is born in one country and you're born in this country. And there's a little more tension. But during that 1 week, I saw Jason learn a lot from Jana. Things that he had never seen from his father. Things that he experienced because his father was beside him. And that's something that God says about himself. That he is what? Our heavenly Father. That he is our Father. And because he's our Father, we are his children. This experience was continued there with my mom and my niece. But also something that Cubans can experience. And this is a dad with his daughter. They're at home, a very simple home. But what do you see there? A horse, yes. But you also see joy. You see peace. You see love. Something that can be experienced because of the fruits of the Spirit. If I would be on the back of that horse, I would fall. They're doing it just bareback. No, nothing behind the back of the horse. Clouds, lots of clouds. A storm was approaching. And sometimes those clouds get mighty close and threaten our little house. And I don't know about your house, but houses can resist so far. I mean, there are hurricanes out there. There are thunderstorms. There's so many things that want to destroy our house. But I praise God for his Holy Spirit that is stronger than any storm. His Holy Spirit that is willing to comfort any home. His Holy Spirit that is able to protect any home. His Holy Spirit that is able to pour God's love into each household. And what do we need to do? Invite God's Holy Spirit into our home. Love can be experienced anywhere, amen? By children and by adults. This year I was invited to a baccalaureate here in Fallbrook, at the Fallbrook High School. And the class president gave a little speech to all of the classmates and all the people who were present there. She gave a counsel from her mom. It was very short, but very profound. And she said the following: whatever decision you make, make sure it's motivated by love. And it will be a good decision. Whatever decision you make, let it be motivated by what? By love. And it will be a good decision. Bad things happen in our world. But we have a God who loves us and who cares about us. And this book, Steps to Christ, speaks about that love. And I want to share with you just a few paragraphs of a knowledge of God in Steps to Christ. And it says the following: God would have his children appreciate his works and delight in the simple, quiet beauty with which he has adorned our earthly home. He is a lover of the beautiful, and above all that is outwardly attractive, he loves beauty of character. He would have us cultivate purity and simplicity, the quiet graces of the flowers. If we will but listen, God's created works will teach us precious lessons of obedience and trust. From the stars that in their trackless courses through space follow from age to age their appointed path, down to the minutest atom, the things of nature obey the Creator's will. And God cares for everything and sustains everything that He has created. He who upholds the unnumbered worlds throughout immensity at the same time cares for the wants of the little brown sparrow that sings its humble song without fear. When men go forth to their daily toil, as when they engage in prayer, when they lie down at night, and when they rise in the morning, when the rich man feasts in his palace, and when the poor man gathers his children about the scanty board, each is tenderly watched by the heavenly Father. No tears are shed that God does not notice. There's no smile that He does not mark. If we would but fully believe this, all undue anxiety would be dismissed. Our lives would not be so filled with disappointment as now, for everything, whether great or small, would be left in the hands of God, who is not perplexed by the multiplicity of cares or overwhelmed by their weight. We should then enjoy a rest of soul to which many have long been strangers. Does God care? He cares. And I believe this is why you and I are here, because my God cares. And He made this special day called the Sabbath, a day that we can take to be with Him, but we also can take to be with who? With our family. A time we can spend experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. The Sabbath reminds us that God is our Creator, but it also reminds us that He is our Redeemer. And this God is coming soon again. This God is wanting to be with His children. And it is our privilege, brothers and sisters, to share that God is love. And the Bible tells us it's going to be through our witness of that love that people will know who Jesus is. He Himself said, "And they will know that ye are my disciples if you love one another." You want to experience that today? It's available. Just invite the Holy Spirit. He's more than able to show you God's great love. Amen.